Vanessa and Reed, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much, Elise.
So your book describes Armstrong's doping program as the greatest sports conspiracy ever. What about other cyclists who were doping and the programs that they were in, or even a debacle in another sport like the Black Sox scandal?
Well, I mean, there was no other cyclist or really other athlete quite like Lance Armstrong. I mean, the guy transcended cycling, transcended sports, was rumored to be running for governor of Texas, maybe president of the United States at one point. So he was a figure that was larger than life. And the business that was built up around him, which we refer to as Lance Inc., was really designed to both benefit financially from his public figure, but also to ultimately try to quash the truth from coming out and protect this explosive secret that, you know, finally came out late last year.
Money plays a big role in the story that you both explore. At his height, how much was Lance Armstrong worth?
His net worth was estimated at more than $130 million. But, you know, it's pretty hard to figure out exactly what his net worth is or was, because it's impossible to know sort of the value of all of his assets. He had many homes and a jet for a little while. You know, his net worth has taken a huge hit recently with the almost all of his sponsors abandoning him. Plus, he's shelling out millions of dollars in legal fees. He's got a very high power team of lawyers representing him, and he's facing some significant legal challenges.
Looking back at when he was at his financial height, if you will, how did that play into the doping program that was taking place?
The doping program in the U.S. Postal Team became so sophisticated. Each year, it just got more and more complex. And, you know, obviously, you needed to have the financial infrastructure around that program to keep it going. So it involved highly paid doping doctors like the Italian Michele Ferrari, who, you know, viewed this as almost a human science experiment, where he was both figuring out how to supercharge these athletes and figuring out how to get around the test. So it was on a massive scale.
And at the same time, the U.S. Postal Service team was operating at a loss, at least for a while, right?
Yes, financially it was operating at a loss. That was partly because it was paying Armstrong so much. His salary was in the many millions of dollars pretty early on, and it was hard for the team to become profitable. Armstrong, as he won, you know, subsequent Tour de France races from 99 all the way through 2005, he was able to command not only many millions of dollars, up to $20 million in endorsements a year, but also a bigger salary from the team, and then more input into who would be hired and how the team would be structured. He had, you know, wealth as it could be measured in terms of money, but also power. And it's also important to point out that for many people, you know, the return on investment was more than just profits. It was fame, and it was the ability for people to become close to Armstrong. They benefited from his status.
A key player in all of this was an investment banker, Thomas Weisel. I mean, could all of this have happened without him being a part of it?
Probably not as fast as it happened. So Thomas Weisel is an investment banker out in Silicon Valley. He happened to be, you know, a very powerful investment banker who loved cycling and competed at the amateur level. Now, Tom Weisel shared a dream of building a team and bankrolling a team that could win the Tour de France, an American team, or primarily American, even though the team eventually had other international riders. And he played a very important role in sort of bankrolling the team and helping it get started so that the team could afford Armstrong, even though he demanded increasing payments with every win.
But you think that may still have happened with another kind of investor if Weisel hadn't been a part of it?
Well, I think my feeling on Tom Weisel is that he helped revamp the sport of skiing. I mean, he really started out there. And his passion for cycling made him a really unique person, both with deep pockets himself, but lots of friends with deep pockets that he was willing to bring in to become fundraisers for the sport of cycling. I mean, he actually took over the entire governing body, really completely revamped it in the U.S., and that all happened really right in your backyard in Colorado. I think without Tom Weisel, there probably never would have been Lance Armstrong as we know him today.
How can Armstrong make money now?
That's a really difficult question as well, because he's banned from competition. All he's ever done from the time he was 13 years old is compete in triathlons and bike races. He can't do that now for the rest of his life. So what he's really trying to do behind the scenes now is figure out a way that he can negotiate with the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, the World Anti-Doping Agency as well, and get back to competition at some point.
Vanessa and Reed, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elise.